No clear evidence of widespread forced religious conversion, but the Basavaraj Bommai government in Karnataka has passed the controversial Prevention of Conversion Act. The move has been slammed by the church in the state in Karnataka and comes at a time when members of the Christian community say that they've been deliberately targeted over false accusations of forced conversions. We're now joined by Reverend Peter Mercado, the Archbishop of Bangalore. Archbishop, thanks very much for being with us. Do you think this bill has been passed through this ordinance as an effort to deliberately and directly target the Christian community in Karnataka?
I cannot decipher what is their intentions are. In fact, we were quite happy that it is not coming up for a long time now. And there is a lull, silence, and surely a lot of feasts of the different communities were there also. And I was under the impression, in fact, some of the BJP good people had also told me that government may not be too keen to go ahead because the Christian community is always a lovable community, a peaceful community, a community that also works for the other communities. But today it was quite a surprise for me. I would say it was really not a pleasant surprise.
Archbishop, isn't the biggest problem over here the fact that while there are all of these allegations of forced conversions, done by the Christian community in Karnataka, there is no statistical evidence? We've tried for months to find out how many cases there actually were. Isn't this the most glaring omission?
Surely. You know, sometime back when there was the Bible issue of one particular school in Bangalore, you're supposed to have given Bible, etc., or had Bible reading and all. And in that controversy, I had even challenged the government, give me one instance of the 600 schools in Bangalore where the Christian schools are running, but there is no conversion. If there is even one conversion, I would surely take it very seriously. But the government, I think, is not serious enough to inquire how many children have been converted, how many have become Christians. I feel very sad. I respect the government. I have great regard for the chief minister and many of the ministers also. I only think that perhaps they are pressurized by certain groups, to do this, in this time of what we call politics or elections, etc., to polarize the communities so that someone gains something out of these divisions and accusations.
Archbishop, in this press release of yours, which you had out earlier on, what I found most worrying is that your sense that fringe elements would now be allowed out in Karnataka on the basis of this law, take the law into their own hands, and physically threaten members of the Christian community. Why do you say this, sir?
I would say yes, because even without the bill, there were so many attacks on our communities, in our schools, in our places of worship. Even our Christmas celebration was considered as not very proper in some places. So without the bill, we have had a lot of problems. Now I say that when the bill is passed, or perhaps when the governor gives assent to the bill, surely it would be as good as anyone walks with something called like a license to do what he wants. And I've always admired many things of this government. I would like to appreciate many good things about them. But as regards these fringe elements, they have not been able to control them. They have not been able to put them under their grip, as it were. And as you ask me a question, we will be surely appealing to the governor in all justice, in all integrity, to say that. And we will put our case in front of the governor. And the governor is the head of the state, who has to be neutral, who has to be impartial and surely generous to people who do good things.
Archbishop, one of the biggest concerns in this bill, it's become the law in Karnataka because it's been pushed through by an ordinance, is that it refers to allurement as being illegal. In other words, potentially free education, orphanages which have been set up, schools which have been set up, for example, by the Christian community, these can all be interpreted as allurement. And Isn't that a key part of the problem? There is no real definition of how you allure somebody and thereby, you know, forcibly convert them.
Yes, I have mentioned it earlier, because that is the most hurting point, that we do these things, community activities, development, schools, hospitals. In fact, we don't gain anything out of it. And our own community members are so minuscule that we will not be able to, I mean, we are not interested in running for only for our sake. But we are happy to serve the nation, to serve the country. We are also patriots. We have soldiers among us. We have teachers among us. And, you know, in the teaching, you can do a lot of transformation. You can almost revolutionize the whole country through education. And everyone knows that the Christian education is one of the best in the world.
Right.
In fact, all these people who criticize us, the political leaders, many of them are our own students. They have this one. And many of them confess to us to say that the education that we have received was one of the best that we have imparted to them. But then, as you said, there is a little lurking fear among them that this education perhaps should be benefit the rich, the elite, but not to the poor, not to the Dalits, not to those people who are this one. That is not our principle and our policy.
Well, Archbishop, you know, it's sad what you mentioned, this big worry about physical security and safety. And we've seen members of the Christian community in Karnataka being attacked. And nobody's really understood any of these details of allegations of mass forced conversions. But hopefully your appeal to the governor will be looked at, if not for anything else, than to ensure that members of your community, indeed all communities, are protected. We're out of time on Left, Right and Center. From all of us here, good night.